It was exactly as they had been told. In that gospel story and in the general stories about the birth of Jesus, everything seems to go like clockwork. Messages from heaven delivered by angels, events foretold, everybody informed, Mary conforming to the plan, shepherds given sat-nav directions, all fitting very neatly into place. Obviously, it wasn't all easy or pleasant. The stable probably stank. The food was scarce. But everybody must have felt it is all in God's hands. We will be okay. Christmas, I'm sure you'll agree, gives the same message every year. Jesus has come to be with us. And we will honour, and he will honour that commitment as long as the world lasts. He is here today for each one of us. And so the message is a comforting one. Believe that Jesus is in our midst, and that your life is in God's hands, that he is taking care of you, and all will be well. That is the message. And obviously it is a comfort to many, many thousands. But it is much easier to believe in the message and to accept the message if your life is in fairly good order. If you're trying to live a decent life, keeping the rules as best you can. But what if your life is not in good shape? If it's in a bit of a mess? And I think when I say that of two people I've had contact with this week, one a young relative who has walked out on his wife and three children this year. I know for sure he won't be attending Mass this Christmas because he can't believe that God doesn't condemn him. And the other is a young man called Stuart who is getting married on the 29th, not in a church but in a hotel, which is heartbreaking for his very Catholic parents. And the big problem in his life is that he has a son by a previous partner. And since the day that the son was born, Stuart has had nothing to do with him. And yet, Stuart wants me to bless his marriage sometime in February. The difference between the two young men is that Stuart doesn't feel rejected by God and feels the need of his blessing. While the first one, because he has failed badly, feels that God must reject him. I suppose it's natural that if you have broken the rules, you will feel that God is disappointed in you. And if you have gone badly wrong in your life, you will feel that he has written you off. And so that makes Christmas a nice, cozy, cheerful feast for those whose lives are nice and cozy and cheerful. But it can make Christmas a bit of a hell for those whose lives are not, in their eyes at least, right with God. But such an idea makes complete nonsense of the promises of Jesus. I have not come for those who have it right, but for those who have done things all wrong, his own words, more or less. And he would add, I come today for the ones who have failed in some way to live according to the commandments. As a young priest, I was given a bit of advice about preaching by a confrere, a priest in his 80s. He said, when you are preaching to people, boy, always remember that there will be many folk in your congregation who are broken-hearted, deeply broken-hearted. Never forget that. And those are the people who, for me, are at the centre of Jesus' coming. Those who are broken-hearted because they've had to settle for a life they had not planned, which is a huge thing. Those who feel uncomfortable before God because of the disarray in their lives. And those are the very ones that he seeks out, the ones to whom he offers a loving embrace. Come to me, all you who are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest, he says. He doesn't say, if the problems, the burdens, are of your own making, you can keep them, you can look after them yourselves. The offer is unconditional. Come to me with your burdens, and I will give you rest. And how do we know he has come to us, or does come to us? Well, anybody who has experienced that fact will tell you that his fingerprints are everywhere. Look for them and you will see them. And among the brokenhearted who have links with the Priory, for whom the Lord Jesus comes as comforter today, as hope, are the families of David Head and Pat Shrewsbury, awaiting the funerals of their loved ones in a couple of days. And among those brokenhearted for whom he comes, who have links with the Priory, are the parents of a young couple. The young couple are leaving with two beloved grandchildren for Australia on January the 7th from Heathrow. And there is David Evans, a priest of the Anglican Communion, here for a few days last week, dying of cancer and wearing his stole. And his great wish, for which I pray, is that he lives till his daughter's 18th birthday on New Year's Eve. Yes, Christmas is not a feast only for the happy, the cosy families who are able to celebrate with no ghosts at their table. Surely it is much more a time for all those whose lives are damaged, whose hearts are broken, who desperately need peace. For those are the ones that he promised he will bring his peace to. So can you lay down your burdens at the feet of that helpless child who comes not in judgment, but as a bringer of peace for our troubled hearts and bringer of strength and comfort from this Mass for all of us to go forward. Going forward with a lighter heart, but knowing that whatever our situation is, he is there at our side. Augustine, looking back on his life, has this bit of advice to tell us. He strayed from God for many years and came back in his mid-30s. And he writes, "What crooked paths I trod, whichever way my soul turned, it lay on a bed that was hard. For in you alone the soul can rest. You are there to free us from our misery, to set us on your own path, and to comfort us by saying, run on, for I shall hold you up. I shall lead you and carry you to the end."